Good morning. Sorry, let me do a little housekeeping. See if I can make the stool taller. Hi. If you're a visitor with us today, I want to say, man, we're glad to have you, especially since it's vacation and the rest of us aren't here. So it's great to have those of you that are visitors here. I'm not the normal preacher dude, and that wasn't the normal leader of our praise group. So you're getting a different taste today. Don't necessarily judge our church on what happens today, although they did great. Thanks, guys, for being flexible and willing to jump in and do that. Let's pray, and then I want to look. We're gonna look at an entire book of the Bible today. So I thought I was ambitious last week when we did two chapters and decided, man, let's step it up another notch, and we'll just do a whole book. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for sending your Son for us, and thank you that you are patient with us, but it's because of your love for us. Thanks for your grace and your mercy, and thank you that you're looking forward to spending eternity with us. Help us to look forward to that as well. Thanks for the missionaries that we've been able to have the past couple weeks, and just pray that you'll continue to bless them and use them. And help us today to be able to think about you and to think about ourselves and to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. So I didn't think anybody read the bulletin, but apparently some of you do, because a couple of people have talked to me about the title for today's sermon. I just kind of make them up because I don't think anybody's going to know what they are. But apparently somebody reads these things, and so the title for this one was Danger, Will Robinson, Warning Signs of False Teachers. I thought everybody knew the phrase Danger, Will Robinson. Is anybody, you guys, how many of you have heard Danger, Will Robinson before? All right. How many of you know what show it's from? There you go, Lost in Space, yeah. And I didn't know this. I found this out this week. There's actually only one episode where the robot says, Danger, Will Robinson. He says danger a bunch of times or things like that, but there's only one where he says, Danger, Will Robinson. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I thought I'd throw some trivia at you since some of you have no idea what I'm talking about when I say Danger, Will Robinson. The other one that made me think, and I didn't use this one, The other thing it made me think of was the song by Kenny Loggins. And I know we have some Kenny Loggins fans here today, but the song, and then there's some of us that weren't, but the song was Danger Zone, right? And Kenny Loggins shows his brilliance for lyric writing when he says, "Highway to the danger zone, gonna take it right into the danger zone." Where else are you gonna take the highway to the danger zone, Kenny? Thank you for that. And if that isn't enough, he repeats it a bunch of times during that whole thing. And even better brilliance when it comes to lyric writing, he's like, what am I going to rhyme with danger zone? How about danger zone? But sometimes we face dangerous things, and what we could really use is a robot to say, danger, Paul Weaver, or Kenny Loggins to say, hey, this highway is going to lead you right into the danger zone. We don't have that. Instead, we have a book like Jude. Today, we're going to look at Jude, and he's going to give us some danger signs. One of the things, I'm the youth pastor here, if you don't know me. My name's Paul Weaver. And one of the things I do a lot with our teens is guide backpacking trips. We take a backpacking trip just about every year. And most of you, if you're parents, most of you, your teens have probably gone on one of the trips or multiple ones. The story I'm going to tell isn't from our group, so you can all breathe a sigh of relief, but it's for when I was guiding for another church, and I was in the Shenandoah National Park on the Appalachian Trail. And I was walking along, and this was a great day because I was alone. That doesn't always happen on a backpacking trip. And I'm alone, and I'm enjoying the trail by myself. And as I'm walking along, I hear a noise behind me. Now, we use internal frame backpacks. And basically, the goal is just to have this big bag on your back, and you throw everything into it. Every once in a while, you'll get a student who either thinks they're funny or can't fit everything in their bag, and they start strapping things to the outside of their bag. And one of their favorites is to strap their pot to the outside of their bag, so as they walk, it goes clang, 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 clang with every step. Some of you have backpacked with one of those people before, and you know what a joy they are. So anyways, on this day, as I'm walking down the Appalachian Trail, I hear a noise, and I'm sure it's one of our students running up behind me, clanging along. And I turn, I keep walking because I, you know, just one of those turns and look in disgust. Jake, you're here today. You could have given us one of those. I'm just ready to give a Jake shake, right? So I look behind me, and there's nobody there. And as I turn back around to keep hiking, I see in the middle of the trail a rattlesnake coiled up in the trail. I had no idea it was there. It was trying to give me a danger Will Robinson sign, and I totally missed it because I thought it was a student coming up behind me. I saw him finally in time, set a world record for long jump backwards with a backpack on, and gave him space and let him move himself off the trail. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes as we talk about Jude's warning signs. But he's going to give us some things. He's going to tell us how he feels about these guys. He's going to tell us what God feels about them. And then he's going to tell us some about them. And then he's going to give us some things we can do to prepare ourselves for false teachers. Now, false teachers, this is a word that I used because I didn't know what other word to use. These guys aren't, in this instance, teachers or pastors or anything like that. They're just people in the church. Jude calls them certain people. So if you've got your Bible and you're in Jude, we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Before we get to these certain people, this is a very important verse. Jude's saying, "I'm writing to you to contend for the faith." Now, in Christianity, some people are real excited to contend for anything. They're just itching for a fight. But Jude is very specific of what he wants us to contend for. And it's important because the certain people, that's his word that he's going to use for these guys, they are fighting for something totally different. So he asks them to contend for the faith, but in particular, what does he want them to contend for the faith? He says that was once for all delivered for the saints. Jude's very specific. He wants you to contend for the faith that was given once for all for the saints, and what he's talking about is Scripture. Let's make sure when we contend for the faith that our contention, is that how you would say that, is based off of Scripture. Let's make sure we're fighting for things that Jude says are worth fighting for. These are things from the Scripture. Now he gets into telling us how he feels about these guys. And he doesn't really hold back. He says, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." He's not a big fan of these guys. I love that he calls them certain people. That helps me. He's not naming names, but there are specific people, right? There's certain people, and he tells us, he calls them, he says that they're ungodly people, that they're designated for condemnation, that they pervert the grace of God, and they deny Jesus. This is a pretty harsh list. Jude doesn't like these guys. Then he goes on to tell us how God feels about him, and he uses three examples from the Old Testament. The first is in verses 5 and 6, and he talks about, or verse 5, he talks about the people that, the Israelites that were delivered out of Egypt, and yet they grumbled and doubted so much that they wouldn't take the promised land. And God, his feeling about them, well, he destroyed them. They didn't get to enter the promised land. And the verse, it tells us that he destroyed them, right? And then the second one example is angels who did not stay within their position of authority, but they left their proper dwelling, and he's kept them in eternal chains. That's the second example, these angels. And commentators argue about who these angels are, whether they're the angels that left with Satan or whether they're the angels in Genesis 6 right before Noah. It doesn't matter, because what really does matter is that these angels denied authority and did what they wanted to do. And it says that he keeps them in chains. And then the third example is Sodom and Gomorrah. It says they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, and they serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal life. These three examples of how God feels about these certain people. The first were the Israelites, who he delivered from Egypt, and yet they doubted and grumbled the entire time and never took the promised land. Second example was the angels who denied authority and did what they thought was best. And then the third example is Sodom and Gomorrah. In our society, we live in a hyper-sexualized society, and so when we hear the third example, well, instantly we start making the entire book about this third example. That misses what the point of Jude is about. It doesn't change how God felt or what God did, but that's not the point of the book of Jude. So let's not overemphasize that and make that the point of the book of Jude. Instead, let's make Jude about these certain people. And Jude starts off by telling us how he feels about them. He hates them. He starts off and then he tells us how God feels about them. He hates them. And as a youth pastor, I spend a lot of time with teens, and our culture over the last even 20 years, everything is either the best or the worst, right? This is the best day ever. Well, you said that yesterday, you know, or you can't believe what happened. It was the worst. And we do these things, and we say we hate things, but we don't really have a reason why we hate things. One of my favorite examples is White Castle. That's right, White Castle. I love White Castle. Love might be a strong word. I enjoy White Castle sometimes. All right? And sometimes I'll try to introduce White Castle to some of the teens. And I'm always amazed at how many teens hate White Castle. They hate it. I had a teen on a missions trip refuse to go into White Castle to order a milkshake. He sat in the van the entire time to make his point about how bad White Castle was. And you know the best part about these teens that hate White Castle? A huge majority of them have never even eaten White Castle. They've just heard how awful it is. Can you imagine a teen that hates White Castle enough that they won't have a milkshake and they've never even tried it? That to me is ridiculous. But Jude, he gives the reason why he hates these people and why God hates these people. He goes into those reasons in verse 8. He says, in like manner, these people also, like the three examples we just looked at, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand. And they're destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Here's the huge problem with these certain people. They don't base things on Scripture. Talks about their dreams. talks about how they blaspheme things they don't understand, but instead they try to understand instinctively. This is a huge problem in Christianity today. Huge problem in Christianity today. People, and some of them are my friends that I've talked to recently, people will turn away from God because they don't understand what he's doing. It doesn't make sense to them. I have a friend who refuses to believe in God right now because he doesn't understand how a loving God could send anybody to hell. Instead of going to the Bible and saying, does God really work this way? Does God think this way? Does God love that way? Instead, he goes to his own head and he says, that doesn't make sense to me. He blasphemes what he doesn't understand and instead tries to understand instinctively. It's not just hell we do that with. We do that with homosexuality. We do that with why do bad things happen to good people. We do that with a ton of things. We say, this doesn't make sense in my head, so I'm going to just make up how it should go. And of course, they don't say it like that. Nobody would ever say that, but that's really what they do. They blaspheme what they don't understand and try to understand instinctively. This is what the big problem is with these certain people. And this is a big problem not just then, it's a big problem today. This has been a problem since Jesus came. This has been a problem even before Jesus came. That's why he gave us the three examples. This isn't a new thing in Christianity today, but we shouldn't be surprised that it's still going on. And so what we need to do is we need to know what these certain people are like. He gives us five things. He says, he gives us kind of pictures to help us understand these people. And it starts in verse 12. He says, these are hidden reefs at your love feast as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves. Waterless clouds swept along by winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Some of these things are outright dangerous. Hidden reefs. The wild waves, wandering stars, those are things that are dangerous. And the other ones are just plain wasteful, like a cloud that doesn't have any rain or a tree that doesn't produce any fruit. Those are wasteful. And so these certain people are, they're dangerous and wasteful. And Jude gives us these pictures, but then the awesome thing about the book of Jude is he gives us a way to prepare for them. A number of years ago, you guys remember the first tornado that, well, not the first tornado, but the first tornado since Paul Weaver came, so the first tornado, anyways. You remember the one that went through Cedar Crest? Well, they both went through Cedar Crest. I'm not helping you any. But it made a mess of Cedar Crest, and you might remember from the news, there was one guy in Cedar Crest who the spring before the tornado built a storm shelter in his backyard. Anybody remember that story? No. Okay. It was on the news. You can look it up. It's real. It's not something I'm making up. But this guy, in the spring before the tornado, he had a feeling, I don't know what it was, but he had a feeling that he should build a storm shelter. And so he goes into his backyard and he builds this storm shelter. And it's a real one. It's a big one. It's pretty impressive. And the whole time he's making it, his wife and his kids are making fun of him. Man, feels like Noah, doesn't it? It wasn't a flood, and Noah's kids and wife really didn't make fun of him. It was the other people, but hey, I'll take some liberty with the story. So the guy built the storm shelter, and then that fall, tornado came through and hit their house. I guess it destroyed their garage, and him and his wife and I think an aunt were in the storm shelter and survived. There are times when we can have a sign that danger is coming, and if it's coming, you want to be prepared. Jude gives us the ways to be prepared in the next verses. He says, in verse 17, "But you must remember, beloved, the prediction of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." The first thing he tells us is, it's basically a warning sign. He says, remember the predictions that these guys are coming. And he would tell us today, these guys are coming. These certain people are coming today. They don't believe the word of God. They instead understand instinctively, and they're dangerous to you. They're dangerous to you. The first thing he says is, remember they're coming. And we need to take this to heart, not just in Christianity in general. We need to be prepared at Bible Baptist Church. Don't be surprised if people come to our church and they are dangerous. They understand instinctively and they don't base their doctrine on the Bible. We need to be prepared. Let us not be surprised when this happens. We were told ahead of time, this is going to happen. I'd rather be prepared than taken by surprise. So the second thing he tells us, what to look for. And this is great because he's very specific. These are things to look for in a false teacher. The first one is, he says, they're scoffers. I said false teacher, I mean certain people. He says they're scoffers. So, you know, that's not a term we use very often. How many of you in the last week called somebody a scoffer? Nobody. Man, you guys need to work on your vocab. So I went to the dictionary. I wanted to see what a scoffer was for sure, because I kind of had an idea, but I wanted to make sure I knew. And it says they mock or deride people who believe differently. Mock or deride people who believe differently. I am an excellent mocker. I'm good at it. I just made fun of a bunch of teens that don't like White Castle. I mock people very well. And we need to be careful for, this is one of the things we need to watch for, people that mock people that believe differently than them. Have you heard anybody in the last week mock somebody that believes differently? Have you been on any social media at all? I mean, that thing is built around scoffing, about mocking people that think differently than us. Second one he gives us is they cause divisions. These certain people cause divisions. This is something we need to keep our eyes open for. They want to divide. Third thing is that they're worldly people. Verse says, they said to you in the last time, there'll be scoffers following their own godly passions. It's these who cause divisions. They're worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. And that's the fourth one, devoid of the Spirit. But worldly passions, we need to make sure, at least in my head, a lot of times when we think of worldly passions, I instantly jump to some sins that I don't do. I love to point at sins I don't do. Look at that person follows worldly passions. But I have passions that aren't heavenly as well. Not always a bad thing to be passionate about something that's worldly, but we need to make sure that those aren't the things that we're contending for. So I said a sentence there that might cause some concern. Be passionate about something that's worldly. I'm a football fan. It's definitely not something that is from heaven. But I'm passionate about it. Would that be passionate for something that's worldly? Well, it can be. So we need to be careful with that. That needs to be something I'm not contending with other people about. I don't need to fight Colby because he's a Patriots fan. I can let that slide once in a while, right? And then it says they're devoid of the Spirit. Now, I want to go back to the rattlesnake story for a second, because I think it fits really well with the things Jude just told us about these people. Remember why I kept walking towards the rattlesnake? Because I thought a friend was coming up behind me. I didn't know what a rattlesnake really sounded like, and I heard somebody, or thought I heard somebody, making a rattling noise behind me. And I'm afraid that a lot of times in our churches, we don't hear the dangerous noise over our friends. So what I'm saying is, I think some of us have friends who are scoffers that cause divisions. And we don't hear the real danger because we've got so much of the noise that sounds just like the real danger around us. That's something we really need to be careful of in the church. Let us not be the ones that are scoffing. Let us not be the ones that are causing division. Let's not be the ones that are following worldly passions. Because when we do, we make noise that sounds just like the danger. Let's not distract people. And I think we get awfully close to being the danger ourselves when we're making those same noises. Let's be careful. He goes on, this isn't the only thing he tells us we need to be doing. He says, build yourself up in the faith. Build yourself up in the faith. You need to be knowing Scripture. That's when we know the people who are talking about things that aren't Scripture. Remember, they fall into understanding instinctively because they don't understand the Scripture. Build ourselves up in the faith. Let's make sure we know the Bible. Second thing is pray in the Holy Spirit. I know we just got two Sunday school answers in a row, but it's because they're important. We need to build ourselves up in the faith. We need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. And then he says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. That one sounds a little bit confusing to me because doesn't God love us? And it can't. Don't we understand that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God? How do I keep myself in the love of God? Well, John 15 talks about this, and one of the things he says in John 15 is, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. We can keep ourselves in God's love or abide in God's love by keeping his commandments. John 15 goes on really to tell us what that commandment is. He says, if you love one another, you keep my commands. So let's make sure we are keeping ourselves in the love of God. And then the last one he tells us is to wait for and look forward to eternity. Let's make sure we have our focus on eternity and not on today. That's what's going to help us not be consumed by worldly passions. That's what's going to help us be able to contend for the faith in the right way and not get caught up in things that don't matter for eternity. And then he gives us three last things to do when it comes to others. He says, have mercy on those who doubt. Man, have mercy on those who doubt. That's the opposite of scoffing. Have mercy on those who doubt. And then he says, save others by snatching them out of the fire to show them mercy. And then to others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh. Three things he tells us to do when it comes to these certain people. First is, we got to have mercy on those who doubt. Second one is, snatch others from the fire. That's when we're really contending for the faith. We're snatching others from the fire. It isn't about being right. It's about helping a brother. And then the third one is, man, we even have to show mercy to the ones that are the certain people. Have mercy with fear. Be careful with them. They're dangerous. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So Jude gives us a warning. He says, watch out, these people are coming. Certain people are coming. Says they're going to be scoffers, they're going to cause divisions, they're going to understand instinctively instead of using the Bible, they're going to be consumed by worldly passions, and they're going to be devoid of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us some things we need to do. Build ourselves up in the faith. Pray. We need to be doing these things. We need to be keeping ourselves in the love of God and looking forward to eternity with Him. And while we're doing that, let's make sure we pull as many people along with us as we can. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save the others from fire and have mercy on the certain people while being careful and hating what they teach. The awesome thing with Jude, after all that warning, is he ends with an incredible doxology. And I want to end with that doxology here. So if you've got your Bible, verse 24, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." Certain people are going to come, and they're going to cause lots of trouble, but in the end, God reigns. We don't have to be afraid, but we can contend with faith, contend for the faith. Let's make sure we follow this, and let's make sure we're not the ones causing the noise and making danger for others. Let's pray. God, thank you again for your word. Thank you that we can know you and we can know truth because you've revealed it in your word. Help us to build ourselves up in that. Help us to have our eyes open for these certain people that cause trouble and help us not to be making any of that trouble. Help us to look forward to your return, keeping ourselves in your love and praying for these people who need you. Thanks that you work even in the lives of certain people and you can bring them to faith as well. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm not going to sing a closing song for you today. Instead, I'm going to tell you, have a great week, but let's make sure we remember what Jude said. Thank you so much.